So I want to talk to you about two things today. That you are essential, and that that's something to celebrate. If you've listened to anything on the news, you know that the president in every news station, I don't care what news station it was, they're saying the houses of worship are essential. The houses of worship are essential. And so I said, listen, they're prophesying again. They don't know what they're saying, but they are releasing words that God is trying to get into our spirit as his church, his bride, to know that individually and corporately we are essential. And so I'm so glad they're essential, because that is who we are. We've lived under what the enemy has told us we are for a long time, but God is raising up a fierce, secure, loving people that are ready to walk in their purposes. And none of that can happen if we don't see ourselves the way he sees us. So it's time for us to settle today who we really are. So I'm going to lay out who you really are. Amen? So God always has had a plan for us. He's the one who initially said he's giving authority and dominion to the church, to his people. Before the foundation of the world, he decided you're not an accident. He decided that he picked you, that he would hold you in his hands, you would be loved by him, you would be cared for by him, and that he would be delighted by you. Isn't that amazing? So you're not an accident. He picked you out. He chose you, and he created you to be unconditionally loved. God loves us unconditionally. He created you to receive that love and to give out that love. Okay, but don't take my word for it. Let's go to Ephesians. This is from the Message translation. Ephesians 1:3. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master Jesus Christ and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. So it tells us how God thinks. He tells it, he's letting us know that he's our Father, that he's our Master, that he sent Jesus, and he is taking us, and he's taking us today to the high places of blessing. Say, I am blessed. Amen. We're receiving it. Okay. Verse 4, long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, and he had settled on us as the focus of his love to be made whole and holy. So what are you? You're whole and you're holy. I want you to know you're not just a figment of God's imagination, but you were molded and you were fashioned in his likeness, and you were chosen to be loved by him and to give that back out. He looked at you and he created you whole. He created you with nothing missing, nothing broken. He created you for purpose of what would happen when you receive that love and give it back out. And so you are of the utmost importance. You are necessary and you are indispensable. And you know what that is the definition of? Essential. You are essential. You are of the utmost importance. You are necessary and you are indispensable. That means every single one of you is indispensable to God. Every single one of you. And so that is the definition. So there's so much going on around us right now that we don't understand, but we realize that people, you know, there's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of hatred that we hear. Everything seems like there is division. But people can't love until they know love. They can't give the love out the way they're supposed to until they know the love of God. And that's why we, the church, the people chosen, are essential. We are essential. We're going to be the difference that is needed for the world. Okay, verse 5. Long, long ago, he decided, God decided, to adopt you and to his family through Jesus Christ. And what pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved sons. How many of you like gifts? How many of you like lavish gifts? Lavish gifts are excessive. They're abundant. They're gifts that were picked out especially for you in mind. I love to get gifts, but I love to get gifts when I know people thought it through And they just didn't throw something at me. They actually thought about getting me something that they knew I would enjoy. Well, that is what God did for you. He made you to receive his gifts that he handpicked for you, and he took pleasure in doing it. Amen? So he wanted us to enjoy our life. Okay, verse 7. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, and we are a free people. Say, I'm free.
I'm free.
Yeah, hallelujah. And we're going to be totally free. Free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all of our misdeeds. And not just barely free either. We are abundantly free. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo. Not living under sin anymore. But there's more to celebrate. Look at the next verse. I want you to remember, if you don't remember anything else, well, you're going to remember other things, but remember this. He thought of everything, and he provided for everything that we could possibly ever need. Oh, that's the kind of God we serve. You know why we're here today? Because that's the kind of God we serve. He thought of everything, and he provided everything for us. And we have to be reminded of that. Letting us in on the plans he took delight in making, he set it all out before us in Christ. A long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in the deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. Everything. Say everything. Yes. Oh, so, that was a good one. Thank you. All that exists is found in him and subject to him and because of him. Verse 11, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. So many people need to know what they are living for. They don't know their purpose. They don't know their destiny. They don't even know they're loved. They don't even know that they've been lavished with gifts. They don't have a clue. But we know what we're living for. Long before we heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us and had designs on us for what kind of living? Glorious living. He's looking at us, and his design for us was to discover that we are walking in his glory. We are to walk in his glory and to present it. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. So God is working it out so that you will be loved and give love. We have to see ourselves the way he intends us to see ourselves, through his eyes. So to God, you are the utmost importance. You are. Each one of you are. You are necessary and you are indispensable. But for the sake of others. Guess what? You are of utmost importance. You are necessary and you are indispensable. Someone is waiting on you. Someone is waiting on someone who knows him face to face. Someone is waiting on someone to show what the kindness of God really looks like. Someone who will set a standard that is different than the world. The world is waiting for you, and you have everything you need. Because it's in Christ that you, once you've heard the truth and believed it, the message of salvation, found yourself home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. You are signed, sealed, and delivered. He's yours. Doesn't that sound like a good song? Some of you know what that means. That is something to celebrate. So look at somebody and say, you're something to celebrate. Oh, isn't it so nice to look at somebody and say that? I'm not just looking at you through a camera lens. That's awesome. So now look at them and laugh at how funny they look in a mask. Okay. And then appreciate this day because we're going to be unmasked to show forth his glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 14. This signet from God is the first installment on what's coming. A reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. We have been grafted into the family of God. Hallelujah. We are the people of purpose, and we are here on purpose, and we have to celebrate who we are. We are important. We are indispensable, and we are blessed. And the blessing comes with an unconditional covenant. It lasts forever and ever. You don't have to wonder if you're going to be blessed. You don't have to wonder if God's going to turn things around for you, if you need Him to turn things around for you. He is in the turning around business. He has already provided everything for everyone. He didn't leave you out. He knows your situation. In fact, some people are getting raises. Lots of people are finding freedom. People are getting closer to God. I am thankful for part of this. I am thankful that God has our attention. I am thankful that we're full of the Word. If you've been listening to the broadcasts that are given daily, you're getting built up in the written Word of God. You're getting built up in the Spirit. You should be higher and so full right now that if somebody presses on you, the glory of God is going to squirt out of you, and you're going to know exactly how to act, exactly what to say, and exactly what to do to impact other people's lives. That is God's dream for His people. And that is what gives us joy. That is what gives us happiness. That is what gives us purpose. Amen? We are free. And because we are free, we are the essential part of going out these walls and setting other people free from their past, from Satan's torment, from poverty, from sickness, from disease, and from emotional devastation. And right now, there is a lot of emotional devastation going on, and all of those things. But we are the people of God that know how to connect them and to bring them to freedom themselves because we've experienced it. Amen? So you got to get that in your spirit today. When we are united with Christ, we're part of a victorious church. We are not beggars. We are not having to operate under evilness. We have the glory of God. He took our sins. He brought our redemption. And Christ in us is the hope of glory, and that is ours. Say, glory is inside of me. Yeah, who are you? You are designed to have His dominion and to walk in His glory. Now, we know that when Adam and Eve sinned, that's what really happened. It is Romans 3:23. All have sinned, and they did what? They fell short of the glory. But that was never God's intention. God's intention was for you to be containers, and He was pouring out His glory so that no one could tell the difference between who God was and who they were. They were walking with Him, talking with Him. They were operating as He was operating. And when they sinned, the glory diminished. It didn't leave totally. It just diminished. But Jesus bought it back. Hallelujah. So now He's brought us back to a position of glory. God says this in 1 Corinthians 2:7. We speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and the God destined for our glory before time began. He destined our glory. What glory? The one that we are going to embrace today. The one that we're going to realize. We are a secret weapon that has been hidden, but we're not going to be hidden anymore. Colossians 1:26 says, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations is now disclosed to the saints. So the mystery is being uncovered. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, and this is the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You, the saints, the bride, the essential people on the earth right now. If God is in us, who can be against us? And if Christ is in you, then glory is in you too. Now, see, if you knew that, it wouldn't be hard to walk around being lit. You would go, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Because you've got the glory of the Lord on the inside of you. You're just going to let it out. Amen? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:6. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness and shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. Now listen, God has prepared us. I believe that this transition time has been so that we have shifted our mindsets. When we walk out the door, we're supposed to walk out the door with unveiled faces, carrying His glory with us. He brought us into the sanctuary to lift up our hands and praise Him, to sit at His feet and to absorb Him, to understand who we really are on purpose. But then the purposes of God have to be walked out by you. We can only do so much gathered together. We can help each other. We can pray for each other. We can minister to each other. But when we are out in our everyday life, there has to be an impact to the world, to the lost, to the dying, to the hurting. I don't know what you're doing, but I am saving money, myself personally and from the church, on purpose. And I'm waiting for the Lord to tell us how to direct it. Because how can we win the lost? How can we impact society if we don't have the same heart that God had? We have to have a heart to give, not to just to receive. We come to church so often to receive what we need. We come in because we have, you know, we need to sit in His presence, and we do. And we need to be healed, and we need all of these things. And God provides it in the body of Christ, and I'm happy for that. But the compassion of the Lord and what He's saying to us right now is that we've got to break out of just coming to find out how good we are. And you are good, and you are essential. But you are essential for a reason. And the essential ingredient that you have is to impact others' lives, to show forth His glory on this earth, because there is an enemy that is trying to rule and reign right now. He's trying to gain ground. And if the church doesn't do their job, he is going to gain territory. But when we, the church, even if it's the remnant, even if it's just a few, it doesn't matter to God. He used 12 people to change the world. He used 12 people that finally understood who they were. He used 12 people that were filled with the Spirit of God. He used 12 people that just kept pressing forward. He used 12 people that sat at His feet, that walked with Him every day, that got a part of His heart, that knew what He was like, that no one could steal from them what they had learned about Him, because they knew Him in a personal way. And we, the people of God, the essential people, we know Him because we've sat with Him, we've looked into His eyes, we've received His presence, we've received His glory, and now we have to walk forward knowing that that is our purpose, is to walk in the fullness of the glory of God that He has entitled us to, given us with, and so that we are just oozing Him everywhere we go. When people are around us, they should wonder why our eyes shine so bright. They would wonder why our mouth is so kind. They should wonder why we always care more about them than we want to talk. They should understand that there is something different that we are carrying than we have ever carried before, because we are coming into this time where God is shaking the church, and He is shaking out all the things that need to be shaken, but He has invested all of the things that need to be invested, and He keeps saying it over and over again, because until we get it, He'll keep saying it, because the church has to rise, and the church has to be the church. The church has to be the essential people in the earth. Say, I'm essential. Amen. There's no substitute for you. There is no substitute for you. No one else can take your place. Do you know that? He designed you individually to bring forth His glory on the earth, and you are going to bring forth the glory of Him on the earth as He has designed you to do it. Amen. All of us have a purpose. There is no substitute. You've been crowned with His glory. You can rise up. You're empowered by the Spirit. You're chosen. You're covered in God's glory. You're backed by all the power of heaven. Are you kidding me? Amen. We are backed by the power of heaven. God's prized possession, the people that are willing to do whatever it takes. Now, you see, there's a dividing line. That's what we have to understand, is, are you willing? Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Are you willing to be that person full of his glory? Are you willing to be his prized possession and show it? Are you willing to let God's glory shine through you? Are you willing to bring the authority of heaven to keep freedom for everyone? So today is Memorial Day. Can you bring the American flag over here a little bit? Oh, you're so cute. Yes, I want the Christian flag too. Yes, please. Here you go. Thank you so much. Okay, so here's your visual. You know how we love visuals. But here's the visual that we have. On Memorial Day, we honor the people that we're willing to lay down their life for our freedom. Do you know that people died so we could be here today? Do you know that most of them were really young? I don't know why we think they're all old. You know, they're not. They gave up their lives. They gave up the life they were living, then they gave up their life that they were going to live. And they did it because they believed so much in liberty and freedom that they were willing to lay down their life for the benefit of someone else. And so we honor them today. So I want to give them this short tribute because this ties to what I'm saying. Can you play that, please? It's only 2 minutes long. Don't worry. No worries.
Three teens were arrested today for defacing the Kensington Park War Memorial overnight. The destruction includes painted messages against the military and the war in the Middle East. The three teens were picked up in the early morning hours after evidence was left at the scene.
Grandpa, something wrong?
Some people sure have short memories, and those who are too young to know need to be taught. Come on, I want to show you guys something.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
At dawn on the morning of the 6th of June, 1944, 225 Rangers jumped off the British landing craft and ran to the bottom of these cliffs. 225 came here. After 2 days of fighting, only 90 could still bear arms. These are the boys of Puente Loma. These are the men who took the cliffs. These are the champions who helped free a continent. These are the heroes who helped end a war. You are men who in your, quote, lives fought for life and left the vivid air signed with your honor.
In the name of God and country, I learned to defy gravity. To honor my family, I lived in the belly of a beast. I fixed the hearts of iron monsters. I became a worm in the mud for dignity,
for honor, for righteousness' sake.
For God and country, I fought for you.
I fought for you.
For you.
I fought for you.
I fought for you.
I fought for you.
I fought for you.
For you.
For you.
For you.
For you.
I fought for you.
I fought for you.
I fought for you, and I do it again.
They fought for America. But did you see? It has to be passed to the next generation. I believe that we are in a fight right now again for our freedom. I believe we're in a fight for freedom for America. I believe that's what this is really all about. I believe the enemy has come. I believe he's trying to take away our rights. I believe that he is perched and he is trying to take away the biggest voice, the church, the essential people. And just as that grandpa took his little grandchildren to show them the need of how to honor their country, it's time for us to honor ours again. It's time for the church to stop arguing. It's time for the church to fight for our country, to fight for the world, to fight for those that are lost. You see, we pledge allegiance also to a Christian flag. I didn't promise I wouldn't cry. This is what the people who made this said the allegiance to this is. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to our Savior, for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior crucified, risen and coming again, with life and liberty for all who believe. In America, the church has become non-essential for a while. We haven't been the voice that was needed. We haven't passed it on to the next generation. We've let honor seep through our fingers. We've let rebellion live in our hearts. We have remained silent when we needed to stand up. We have withheld our love when we were supposed to give it. We have held on to anger when we were supposed to release it. We have held unforgiveness when we were supposed to show others how to forgive. We have not loved like the essentials are supposed to. But I believe that God has come and it's a new day. And we will no longer be identified and defined by the enemy or by fear, but we will be defined by the one that we love. God has come this week. He told me the word fortitude. He said, I'm giving you fortitude. It means this, a strength of mind that enables a person to encounter danger or fear or adversity with courage and strength. God came to make us essential. The essentials carry God's glory. To brighten somebody's day by lightening their load. The people that worked here today, the people that have been working this whole time to make sure you could take advantage of what the Lord is saying to all of those that have been out working in the workplace and trudging through and homeschooling your children. But beyond that, how do you act when you're in public? Are you showing His kindness? The essentials on purpose greet other people with kindness, and they release it in the atmosphere. Essentials believe that other people matter. And they live to make them know that that is true. Essentials are the ones that always are ready with a testimony. What God has done for you. I mean, I'm looking at you. I know your testimonies. You're ready with a testimony. But are you always ready for a testimony for the one that needs to hear it? Essentials are the one that carries God's glory, that causes them to be more concerned about doing good than being noticed. Shift. that's a big shift that the church as a whole has to take if we're going to give honor and we're going to make sure that there's freedom for the next generation. The essentials are dedicated, they're chosen, they're determined to leave their fingerprints on the world.
Bah. What if they didn't die? What if they didn't fight? Where would we be?
Well, what if they didn't fight? Where would we be? There's been so many generals of the faith that have died in the past year that my heart has been grieved because I see that they're leaving. And I don't know who will take up their mantle. Rabbi Zacharias just died. I don't know if you guys know who he is, but he was such an amazing man, the greatest apologetics person in the whole world that I know of. He could just talk to people and convince them that Jesus was the way because he talked to them with education, but he talked to them with love. He never put anybody down. He just exuded because he knew what he was here for, and he did a good job. But so many others have given their life so that we could enjoy the freedom that we have in knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And they were the essentials for us. They were the essentials for us, but now we are the essentials. The essentials do what needs to be done with a joyful heart and a humble spirit. The essentials are the one who provides food in a crisis. The essentials are the one that give money for a need. They roll up their sleeves. They get to work. They clean. They do whatever is needed. They fix things up. They set things up. And then they quietly slip away, just being glad they got to be a part of something bigger. But everywhere they are, they leave the scent of God's glory because they did it unto him. The essentials count it a privilege to share the love of Christ with their children and with others. The essentials are the people that not only work in the nursery and the children's and the youth and the young adults, but they are the ones that cry, that pray, that stay connected to God, that make sure that our word is pure and that our love runs clear. They are militant. They face every battle that comes their way, knowing they are designed for such a time as this. They reach out to those that are laying lifeless. Ugh. I'm back. Carry them to where they can get to the help that they need, a place of safety. And the essentials count serving. And honor. Serving and honor. They lead from the front and they lead from the back. They lead with glory and they leave a legacy. They instill the essential ingredients in other people so that they can lead to the next generation and the next generation, the next person and the next person and the next person, the lost person, the forgotten person, the hurting person. You have to understand, church, we are the chosen. We are the loved. We are the spirit-filled ones that are full of glory. We are the essentials. So what has been spoken has been sealed. God has called each and every one of us into a higher place of understanding. These people were willing to die for what they believed was going to provide freedom for others. These people were ready to die for that which they believe will bring freedom to others. Now, it's up to us. Some people say, well, I'm just going to live for God. You can't live totally for God until you die totally for God. You die to your ways and you live in his ways. I know it's a struggle. We all go through things. We all face different things. But we have his glory. We have everything for everyone. He said so. So it's our time. It's your time to be the church, to be the one that is essential for the one who doesn't know it yet. It's our time. So, Father God, I just thank you for that. Lord, I'm so desperate, Lord, to know the power of your love and to pass it on. I'm desperate for that, Lord. Lord, I thank you for these beautiful, faithful, willing people to honor you. And God, I call on their purpose right now. I call on all the ingredients that you have placed on the inside of them to arise and shine for your glory on the earth. Lord, we thank you that you have given us purposeful positioning right now. That you have opened our mouth with joy and with truth and with purity, Lord, and that our lives will reflect that. And so, Lord, I bless them today, Lord. And I thank you for keeping us all safe. You've been so faithful, God. I thank you that that will continue, Lord. We thank you that you are cursing the curse and you are arising that your name will be glorified. And so, Lord, we agree as touching that. Now, Lord, we honor you. You were the first to give your life that we might live. And so today, Lord, for all of us that are here and anybody that is watching, Lord, we ask that you forgive us for not taking our lives as seriously as we need to, that you have invested your very glory on the inside of us with the purpose, Lord, that we have not known who we are or acted like essential people. But Lord, we repent of that today, and we repent on the behalf of others as well. Lord, repentance brings a turnaround. And so, Lord, we declare that today the church is turning around and arising as never before. Lord, I thank you that even now you're moving in hearts. You're dealing with things, Lord. You're assuring people that they are worth it, that they are valuable, that they are essential, that they are needed, Lord. And so, God, we receive our mantle. We receive our militant attitude of victory against the enemy while we serve those that need it. Lord, I pray for all of those that have gone before us that were willing to give their lives. Oh, Lord, so many are just flashing through my brain. I can only imagine. Lord, heaven is filled with them. And Lord, they're looking down today and they're saying, look, here they come. They're going to follow in our footsteps. They're going to follow their purpose. Lord, we dedicate ourselves to you today, Lord. And we thank you for being essential and walking in the truth of it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Whew, that's good news. That's good news. You are wonderful, called, anointed, appointed people. And we have purpose and we are designed to be the answer. Amen. All right, so it's only 11 o'clock. It is a miracle of God. What have I done? Okay, are you going to remember this, though? Yes. Did you drink it in? Yes. All right, are you essential? Yes. Are you going to be the essential ones? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, I see. They're waving their... thank you. They're waving their phones, meaning it's time to give, and I'm going to have an offering. Okay, so we have enough of the word in us that I don't have to teach you. I hope today that the blessing of the Lord is upon your offering. The offering container is right there, but those that are online, they're showing you how to give. And thank you so much again for being so faithful. I so appreciate you. There are no words that I can say that even through a crisis, the people of God give to the house of the Lord. And all I can say is thank you to you and thank you to the Lord, because something we don't have to worry about is paying our bill. Isn't that good news? Amen. So I want you to give your offering today, though, with a declaration. Are you ready? Okay. So if you're doing it by phone or whatever, just lift up your hand before the Lord and declare this with me. This offering has been given to you, Lord, with the understanding that you have invested in me. So I am making an investment into your kingdom. You have provided everything for everyone, and that includes me. I know who I am. I am loved. I am saved from destruction. I am chosen to be love and to give love. I am essential. And I establish that by releasing my seed, I am releasing the harvest in my life, in my family, in my church, and in the worldwide church, and that we have an overflow to spread the good news to everyone, everywhere. So with this offering, we celebrate you. Amen and amen. Yes, put it in the container as you leave. And the ushers are going to help you leave safely. And, okay, so everybody know I'm hugging each one of you. This is really, I love you, I love you, I love you. Hugs, hugs, hugs. You know, I heard somebody yesterday saying, you know, we need touch. We do need touch. Ugh. And so they go, if you don't have anybody else, just touch yourself, pat yourself. They go, put lotion on. And I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna slather the lotion. That's what I'm gonna do. But soon and very soon, listen, I did hear good news yesterday, and then I'm gonna let you go. But they said that these stages of stuff that they're planning on every 2 weeks a release. So a new release, a new release, a new release. So I know that tomorrow they're starting to open the beaches, and here's what you need to do, essential people. You need to pray, no outbreaks. Yeah, it is not going to spread so we can be free. Amen? And I'm praying that this is the only church service we have to wear masks. In Jesus' name. All right? All right, I love you. Be blessed. Know that I want to hug you.
Don't get up yet if you don't mind staying in your seats.
Oh, yes, you're going to do it, right? No, I'm done.
They love you.
Yeah, oh, yes. Oh. I love you. But who do we love the most? And who loves us the most? And who loves them the most? Go be essential as he instructs you.
Thank you for joining us today at Liberty Life Center. We hope you were challenged and encouraged by today's message. Visit us online at libertylifecenter.org, where we have links to other archived messages and even a place to give. Be sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Liberty Life Center. We hope you'll join us again next week. In the meantime, embrace, display, and share God's love.